Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett and I am the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. It is my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and then bring to you some good news in the morning. This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO, or you can find us on the web at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. This morning, I want to remind you of what God is like. The picture you will see today is God as lover. We're going to hear the song and the prayer, Our Father, from Steve Bell and his friends on the album Unlikely Icon.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Forever.
This morning, I want to tell you a story of Harry and Jesse. Harry was a 23-year-old bachelor. He was eligible, very eligible, in fact. The old ladies in the church thought he was a good catch. He was stable, grounded, well-respected, and just a really nice guy. In fact, he was seen as a leader in the church. He was the genuine thing. You knew when you talked to him that there was something authentic about his faith. Well, one day, Harry was doing his devotions, he was praying, he was reading the Word of God, and he heard God say to him, I want you to marry a party girl. Now, this wasn't just a feeling or I think God said it to me. He knew that he knew that this was the voice of God. Well, he argued with God. God, you know what kind of wife I've always wanted. Someone stable, a good friend. And I've always kind of found those party girls kind of flaky. But God had told him to marry a party girl. And he had long since chosen to follow God and do whatever God asked. Well, where do you find a party girl? Harry wasn't sure, but he figured a party would be a good place to look. So Harry went out to a party slash dance, shindig, and Harry kind of stayed on the sidelines. But right in the middle of the dance floor, he spotted Jessie. Well, Jessie had on a light, tight blue dress that showed all the curves in the right places, and she was dancing up a storm. She was the life of the party. Harry figured, if I have to marry a party girl, I might as well marry one that I like. After all, God had told him, right? Well, he struck up a conversation with Jessie, and as it turns out, she was getting a little tired of the party scene. Harry was, for some reason, taken with her, and although her comments were often inappropriate, and her language was often rough, well, they went out for coffee, and one thing led to another, and they eloped. Well, I must say that the people in church the next Sunday were just a little surprised. And Jessie felt more than just a little out of place, too. All her dresses were just a little too short. Her language was just a little rough. She raised more than a few eyebrows. Well, as time went on, Harry and Jessie had 3 kids. Each time they had a child, God would speak to Harry and say, I want you to call this child by this name, and it had a specific meaning. I don't know if it was the mundane exhaustion of raising 3 kids or the longing for the party life she had given up, but Jessie just could not handle it at home anymore. She left Harry. She left him for another man. And this man wasn't good. Soon she was not only sleeping with him, she started to work for him as a prostitute. She slept with a lot of men. Her new man pimped her out. This went on for a couple of years, and then God spoke to Harry, and he said to him, go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves you. Well, the situation was a little complicated. The pimp was making good money off of Jessie. It wasn't as if she could get up and just leave, but Harry negotiated for her. He paid a couple of $1,000s for her. He told Jessie, you're going to live with me for a long time. You're not going to be a prostitute or sleep with any other man as long as we live together. And as hard as it is to believe, it seemed like the marriage worked out. I think there were still some issues, though. Now, the story that I told you is basically the story from the first 3 chapters of the Old Testament book of Hosea. It is the story of Hosea and Gomer. Hosea was a prophet around 760 B.C., It was a prosperous time. Jeroboam II was king over northern Israel. He had expanded their territory. It was a prosperous time. Life was good. There was peace and prosperity in the land. But although times were good, people weren't. Social and moral conditions had developed that were both wrong and degrading. Side by side with extreme wealth was extreme poverty. Through dishonest business practices, the strong took advantage of the weak. Those who had wealth felt free to oppress widows and orphans and even buy and sell them in the destitute in public markets. The courts did little to help the cause of justice. Religious conditions were no better. Baal worship, an evil religion that Israel had purged more than once, was back. Sacred prostitution was being practiced with this cult. Different idols were being set up over the high places of Israel. The prophet Amos had preceded Hosea in preaching against sin and idolatry. Now it was Hosea's turn to preach. He also preached about what would happen if they did not turn back to God. Well, after the reign of Jeroboam II, Israel's political fortunes declined significantly in accordance with Hosea's prophecies. They went through a number of kings in quick succession, and then they were overrun by the Assyrians in 724 BC. So at the start and in the middle of this decline, God calls the people of Israel through the prophet Hosea, and God uses Hosea's life as an illustration. God had called the people of Israel when they were nobodies, and he made them into somebodies. He made them into his very own people. They were a people of no reputation, and God had made them into his chosen ones. Hosea did to Gomer what Harry did to, and Harry did to Jesse what God did to Israel. He married them. The picture in the book of Hosea is God as a great lover. He took the nation of Israel from nothing and made her into a great country. but by running after false gods and turning from the laws of God and disdaining what God had said, the people of Israel committed adultery against the living God. Yet by Hosea taking Gomer back as his wife, after she had been a prostitute, it was a sign to the people of God that God still loved them, even after all they had done, even though they had prostituted themselves by linking up with other gods. The true God still loved them. I'm going to reflect on that as we hear from Jody Cross in his album, Made for You, the song As I Am.
As I am, so I come, knowing you will receive me through the blood of your Son, the one that I believe in. Though my heart so often cold chooses rebellion, from my sin I turn aside, with you now to abide. Father, help me see my heart as you know it so to be. Send your light into my darkness, form your heart in me. As I am, so I come, knowing you will receive me through the blood of your Son, the one that I believe in. Though my heart so often cold chooses rebellion, from my sin I turn aside, with you now to abide. Father, heal this heart so cold, warm it with your fire of love. Send your wholeness to my weakness, till it beats like yours above. Father, help me see my heart as you know it so to be. Send your light into my darkness, form your heart in me. Form your heart in me. Form your heart in me.
We've looked at the Old Testament. Now come with me to the New Testament, to James chapter 4. This is what it says. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture said, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. The book of James was written to Christians that were scattered all over Asia and North Africa. But it's the same metaphor that Hosea used. James calls Christians who have chosen to be friends with the world adulterous. It's the Hosea image, except it's not with the country of Israel, it's with Christians. I want to walk you through this James passage quickly so you can get a sense of what's going on. When James talks about the world, he's talking about a system of thought that takes no thought of God, and or it sets something else above God. When you become friends with the world, you either live independently from God or you set yourself up as God's judge. And whenever that happens, you become God's enemy. Verse 4 says, you are adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be friends of the world becomes an enemy of God. But then it goes on to say in verse 5, or do you think the scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live within us envies intensely? Essentially what he's saying is, God is jealous for us. Then the passage goes on to talk about the humble and the proud. Pride in a biblical sense is living independently from God. It is a parallel to being friends with the world. Humility is dependence on God. It is the work of the world. It is the work of the devil to get you to live independently from God. It is the primary work of the world to get you to live in a proud manner. But this is what verse 6 says. But God gives more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The only way to live in opposition to the world is to live in submission to God. For those Christians who have been friends with the world, here is James' advice. Verse 8, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, wail, change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. There's a call for repentance. There's a call of turning from sin back to God. There's a call to grieve over the state of your relationship with God. And here is the call. It comes to us. Repent. The promise is that if you do that, he will lift you up. The promise is that in the middle of your dependence, that he will restore you to a place of honor. To use the metaphor of the passage, you will be his true bride. The picture of God that we find in Hosea and that we find in James is that of a spurned lover. When his bride, the church, follows after false gods, after the world, they commit adultery on God. But God, who is gracious and compassionate, invites them back, buys them back, calls them back to live in deep relationship with him. But even before you get to this, there's another picture of God. Probably the first picture of God. God as a lover. Now, our language has perverted that word and given it mostly sexual overtones. Almost any of the words that would describe the depth of relationship that God wants to have with us have taken on those connotations. You see, words like friendship or companionship or pal or buddy or amigo doesn't quite get at the level of relationship that God wants to have with you. Marriage, the way it's supposed to be, intimacy, soulmate, lover, these are the words that come closer to describing God's desire in relationship with us. That is why the church is described as his bride. That is why one of the first pictures we are given of God in the Bible is him walking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. The picture we have of God is one where he is wooing us, calling us, proposing to us, inviting us into relationship with him. He wants to be our friend, our companion, our intimate, the lover of our souls. Of all the pictures of God, this one is probably the hardest to get our faith around. We believe that God so loved the world, and I'm part of the world, so I can accept that he loves me as one of many. We can believe that Jesus died for us, so we believe, at least most of the time, that he can tolerate us. But we know our hearts. We know how prone we are to wander, and we know that he knows our hearts better than we do. So we believe that he tolerates us. I don't care if you grew up in a good family or in a bad family. If you grew up in a respectable part of town, or if you grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, if you know your own heart, you have this deep down intuition that your heart is from the wrong side of the tracks. But just like Hosea and Gomer, if you know the geography of your soul, you know that God went slumming when he found you. But the weird thing is, it's not just a love of pity, like one might have for a cute puppy left out in the cold. It's not the love of condescension when he reached out to the less fortunate to help me feel better, although God did condescend to meet us, and he went slumming in a world of sin when he went from heaven to earth. The world is the wrong side of the tracks. It's not the love of pity or condescension. It's true love. It is a passionate love. God loves you. He comes to you and pops a question. Will you marry me? That is what becoming a Christian is, in a sense. Being married to God. His spirit comes into our spirit. There is this union. Some of you know that God has popped the question. Will you invite me into your heart? You said, well, I need some time to think about that. And he respects that. But it is hard to understand. It's like Harry and Jesse, Hosea and Gomer, the catch of the lifetime asking the uncouth, the unrefined person from the wrong side of the tracks to come and be their mate. In the spiritual world, we are all that. For those of you who are there, would you say today, Jesus, I want you to come into my life? Some of you have invited Christ into your life, but you don't feel like the spouse of a living God. You don't feel the intimacy of relation. You feel like it's like somehow he made a mistake in picking you. You can't see what he sees in you. You can't understand how he loves you. Tolerate you maybe, but it can't be that he really loves you. Because of this belief, it warps your whole Christian life. You have a hard time trusting God because you know your own heart. Well, this morning, I want you to hear the word of God for you. God says, I love you. I do more than tolerate you. I do more than just accept you. I deeply, truly, honestly love you. My love for you is so far beyond your comprehension. The more you receive it, the more you will find that it's there. There are some this morning who have married God, but you're committing adultery on him. You set up false gods, or you're living as if you're not in a relationship with him. You're living independently from him. When this happens, he hurts. He is displeased. Anyone who truly loves their spouse would be immensely wounded by the adultery of their spouse, and God is. Yet the picture of Gomer is there for you. Not only had she committed adultery, she became a prostitute. But God called Hosea to take her back. And that is what God wants to do for you. He says, my arms are open wide. I want to receive you for all of who you are. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for those who have yet to know your love. You invite them into this deep, honest, intimate relationship with you. I pray, Lord, that today they would open their hearts up and say, Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you. Forgive me of my sins. I want to be part of your family. Lord, and there are those who just can't believe that God loves them. God, I proclaim over those people right now your love. May you love them deeply and truly and honestly in a way that they can understand. May they get it that your love is directed towards them. And Lord, I pray for those who are far away from you. They know you, but they've turned their back on you. Lord, would they come back and see your arms open wide to receive them? May they know your love as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, thank you, listeners, for your words of encouragement and for keeping us in your prayer. Keeping this program on the air continues to be a work of faith. If you can help with that, please make checks payable to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO, or you can give by going online at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. We really appreciate you helping us with this ministry. Alan Churchill, the founding pastor of this ministry, is writing a monthly devotional. Alan is well known for his spiritual insight and ability to communicate the truth of God. It would be great to receive this devotional, and if you want to do that, you can go to our website, goodnewsatthemorning.ca, and sign up to start receiving it right now into your email box. We know that God will bless you through this ministry. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. May the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. God bless you. We're going to leave this morning with the song All the Way My Savior Leaves Me from the album Event Hymns.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, he here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whatever fall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All out the way, my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread. He gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with living bread. And though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be gushing from
News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.